Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY21 earnings conference call for Pennant Industries Limited, hosted by PhillipCapital India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikram Suryavanshi from PhillipCapital. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Suryavanshi.
Thank you, Nero. Good morning and very warm welcome to everyone. Thank you for being on the call of Pennant Industries. We are happy to have with us management of Pennant Industries for question and answer session with the investment community. The management is represented by Mr. Aditya Rao, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Srikanth Bhakkar, VP Finance, Mr. J. Krishnaprasad, CFO, and Mr. K.M. Sunil. Before we get started with the question and answer session, we'll have some opening comments from the management. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, and warm welcome to all the stakeholders of Pennant Industries to the fourth quarter and for financial year ending March 2021 investor conference call. Since we're all doing this remotely, if my voice is unclear, please let me know. I will repeat what I've said. So feel free to interrupt at any point of time, my request to the moderator. So once again, a good morning, and thank you for attending this investor call. I hope all of you are safe and are taking all necessary precautions during this pandemic. We will follow the following structure for the conference call. I will first provide an overview on the performance of the company on the fourth quarter and for the financial year. Our CFOs will then provide details on major financial metrics. And post this initial summary, we will open up the call for questions from our stakeholders. So to give you an idea of the performance of the company, in the fourth quarter, we have achieved the improvements we wanted to our revenue line. We were able to record net revenue of 556 crores compared to net revenue of 451 crores in the fourth quarter of the previous financial year. Our EBITDA had 74.56 compared to EBITDA of 30.95 crores in the fourth quarter, up by about 140%. And the profit after tax after minority interest is at 33.32 crores compared to profit after tax after minority interest at 1 crore in the fourth quarter of the previous year. For the financial year in question, we recorded net revenue of 1,525 crores compared to 2,106 crores in the previous financial year. Our EBITDA was at 131.5 crores compared to EBITDA of 189 crores in the previous financial year. And our profit after tax was 2.27 crores considering compared to the previous year's profit after tax after minority interest of 53.3 crores. So in summary, with regards to the profit, with regards to the performance in the fourth quarter, we achieved and exceeded, in fact, in some cases, the metrics and the targets we have set for ourselves. As I mentioned to you in our previous calls, going forward, our updates will be broken into three aspects: profitability, liquidity, and growth. On the profitability front, we had in the third quarter, we achieved a moderate level of profitability and liquidity, and our focus was on achieving a pre-pandemic profitability. We have since achieved that in the fourth quarter and also in terms of PBT and cash profit. Now our goal will be to start generating growth quarter on quarter, improving our numbers further. And in the first quarter of this financial year, with the second wave having come into being, we had expected moderation in some of these numbers, but we have reached a steady state level of profitability, which we think will continue. On the liquidity front, we continue to work hard to bring working capital usage down. Our current working capital utilization is an improvement over the last quarter. As I had mentioned last quarter, our target is to reach 75 days. And we had started the in the second quarter, we were at 120 days, improved that to 100 days. We are right now at 96 days, and we expect these improvements to continue and for us to reach 75 days in working capital, number of days in this financial year. Coming to growth, as I had mentioned on my previous calls, we have commissioned the BIW plant in Chennai. We have commissioned the Ascent Metal Buildings plant in Tennessee in the US, and our tubes IR operations have started gaining fruit, bearing fruit as well. So all these investments are starting revenue generation very soon. Some of it came in the fourth quarter, but the BIW plant will be starting operations from next month. The Ascent plant will be starting operations from next month. And we believe that the addition of all of these three over the next couple of quarters will allow us to substantially grow PBT and cash back. We have funded the vast majority of these investments. We only have around 30 crores more of capex to be deployed in order to make sure that these assets are up and running, and we will complete that investment and make sure that they become good revenue generating assets. For the other revenue streams, we also have small moderate capex investments and growth investments in our industrial components line and other businesses. And with the exception of railways and our water EPC business, all of our businesses have very robust growth plans ahead of them. The railway vertical continues to be unclear because of the second wave. Most of our customers in the railways are not operating right now. ICF is not operating. So in that environment, it is difficult for us to give guidance about what is going to happen, as I had mentioned last quarter as well. So this quarter as well, we will be unable to guide you to what is going to happen in the railways vertical. But our order books are quite strong in that, and we expect whenever the second wave recedes for us to benefit from that, from a profitability growth. PEPS's order book has come back quite strongly as well, and stabilized at a higher level, and we expect to hit our target profitability in PEPS also quite soon. We are, as usual, not going to give guidance, but in spite of the second wave, in spite of a lockdown, we believe we have a strong level of profitability in Q1, which is superior to what we had in Q3. But what we can expect is a good level of profitability, a good level of cash flow generation, further improvements in working capital in the first quarter of this financial year. In conclusion, before I hand over to our finance heads, I would like to conclude that we have achieved what we had committed on our last call. That is what is most important for us, that what we say we do, we do. And we are quite confident that we are well-placed to continue to operate and improve our profitability and our working capital position, and also increase our revenue over the medium term. On that note, I will hand it over to our finance controllers, Mr. Srikant Bakkar and Mr. Krishna Prasad, for their briefings on the performance on the fourth quarter and the financial year.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the investor call. I would like to give you the highlights of the Q4 FY21 versus the Q4 FY20. In terms of net sales, we have increased from 451 crores to 556 crores. That's up by 23% in terms of the net sales. Correspondingly, the raw material cost has also gone up from 265 crores to 340 crores. Employee benefits, we have, now that we are back to normal, we've started all the employee-related full payments of the thing, and it has increased from 31 crores to 33 crores moderately by 2.12 crores. Finance cost from 18.28 crores has come down to 18.1 crores. So there is a decrease. These are based on the various measures that we have taken in order to reduce the working capital in terms of number of days, and also getting the interest advantage in terms of the LC discountings. Depreciation has been more or less the same from last year to current, last quarter to the current quarter of FY20 versus FY21, 11.53 to 11.79. Overall, if we see, there is a profit before tax of 44.67 crores. The profit before tax consists of an exceptional item of 19.96 crores. This was on account of the land sale that we did, which we had the surplus land. And as per the board approval, this has been sold. So this is an exceptional item and one-time event. The existing profit also includes the one-time profit which we have got from the tooling revenue, which is close to around approximately 7 crores. So if you take out from 44 27 crores. The balance 45 crores from 45, if you reduce this 27 crores, 18 crores will be revenue that has been there from the operations, which is not which is the normal course of the business. So that is 18 crores revenue, and overall we have clocked the cash profit of 12.49 last quarter to cash profit of 45.85 crores in the current year. Just because it's a financial year, I would just like you to take you through the balance sheet numbers as well. So in terms of property, plant and equipment, from 572 crores, it has decreased to 554 crores. This is on a combination of the capitalization that we did, close to 23 crores, in factory buildings and plant and machinery, and the depreciation that we have charged off in the current year. The increase in the working capital from 33 to 61 crores is on account of the new initiatives that we have taken in terms of VIW and FN buildings, which we are setting up in the US. Trade receivables, overall, if you see the trade receivables has decreased, has increased by 7 crores. Trade receivables in non-current has reduced from 41 crores to 17 crores, while the trade receivables in terms of current has increased from 396 to 427. So overall, even with the increased revenue, we were able to maintain the receivables. This is because of the old collections, which has been followed up and collected in the coming quarters. In terms of inventory, it is increased from 439 to 486 crores. This is predominantly on account of the increase in the prices. The inventory value has gone up. In terms of the metric tons, the overall metric tons will be more or less similar or reduced levels in various business units. We continue to hold 55 crores in terms of cash, while compared to the last year, 59 crores. In terms of investments, some of these investments have reduced from 45 crores to 17 crores. This is predominantly on account of deploying this money for BIW and Ascent, and resultant, you can see the increase in capital work in progress. Coming to the equity is more or less similar. The slight reduction is due to the buyback that we carried out a year ago, which we have completed in late 2020. So, but if we remove that, there is a growth in terms of the total equity. Borrowing is from 102 to 112 in terms of the long-term borrowing. And in terms of borrowings, working capital-wise, it is from 297 to 419. So overall, if you see the working capital, it has slightly increased in terms of 524 to 580 number. While the other numbers in terms of trade payables has come down from 478 crores to 440 crores. Also, we have reduced the other current liabilities from 80 crores to 51 crores. So this is the summary, and just take one more minute to explain in terms of the cash flows from the operations. So this being the balance sheet here, the cash flow from the operating activities has increased by 43 crores, and this has been used to deploy in terms of investing activities by 6 crores and financing activity by 43 crores. So overall, we were able to maintain from 39 crores to 33 crores in terms of the cash and cash equivalent that we have in hand. This is a brief in terms of the finance numbers. If we have any further questions, we'll be happy to take you.
Shall we open the floor for questions?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Digant from SVIP Capital LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I hope everyone is doing fine and safe and healthy. Sir, I have a few questions about the freehold land that we sold at Bandalkuda, which is sold at a profit of 20 crores, is what I see. So I wanted to know what is the total sale price of that property, and by when would we receive all the? Have we received all the money? And if not, then by when will we receive all the money from the sale proceeds?
Yeah, I would take that up. The total cost of the land that was purchased way ago is approximately 4 lakhs. And in terms of the taxable profit, the tax computation on that is approximately around 4 crores. The total amount of 20 crores, from the 20 crores, only 4 lakhs is the cost. So 19.96 is the profit. And out of this 19.96 crores, as we speak, we have received the almost 85% of the money, and balance 15% is will come in before the month end, as per the timelines.
Right, sir. So I see the proceeds from sale of current assets in the cash flow statement of 28 crores. What is that relating to?
Proceeds from sale of
current investments.
That is the amount of the money that we had in terms of investment and which we have deployed in capital work in progress. So that is mutual fund amount which has been withdrawn and used for capex purposes.
Okay. And so just the last question. So the changes in inventory is about 20 crores. How much of this would comprise of the inventory revaluation?
Inventory, we did not carry out any revaluation. Inventory is at cost or net realizable value, whichever is lower.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll join back in the queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Arvind Joshi from Batilo Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Aditya, good morning to all of you. I had a few very broad questions. Yeah, I'm great. I hope you guys are doing well too. Thanks. So looking at the scenario that is developing and also some green shoots developing, partly due to the upturn in the economy and partly due to the efforts you guys have been taking since last 2-3 years, I think both sides the green shoots will sustain is what we hope. So in that context, I had a few questions. Now looking at the fairly de-risked footprint that you have, except a couple of parts which are becoming a little dormant in the short term, which components excite you the most in terms of scalable profit? And I have a few other questions. Should we ask a question and get the answer, or I ask all the questions?
If you can ask the other question also, sir, I'll try to answer.
Okay, great. Okay, fine. So other than this, we believe and have been looking around, and I think there's a fair amount of consensus that water and clean tech are emerging as huge opportunities. How is our footprint currently, and how are we planning to enhance that, and any new initiatives taken, and especially on our chemical treatments and resins business, what is the status and any expansions or any more value-added qualitative improvements in that which we could expect? And also on the defense front, if you recall a couple of years ago, I think it was a couple of years ago, when we had met and visited your facilities, you were very excited about the defense vertical shaping up very nicely. We are one of the key vendors to a major ballistic component manufacturer in the PSU arena. So you're very excited about that. How's that business shaping up? And in general, what is the outlook for the defense sector in this thing? And also, we were very excited about being suppliers of almost entire coach for the Train 18 project. Has it been sidelined due to some internal problems with our government authorities at the railway's end, or this project eventually will start and we should see the good times coming back?
Thank you. I'll take your questions up one by one. So yeah. As to which things excite us the most, I feel within the next 2 to 3 years, we will see our automotive business, which is dominated by, which will be which is our DIW line, our existing auto component revenue lines will do quite well. So that I find very interesting, because I believe there's massive growth potential in that. Our engineering services verticals also are growing quite quickly. They may only comprise 10-15% of our profitability right now, but I believe that going forward they will expand their profit share for us, and also I think are very scalable verticals. So that is another business that excites me a lot. Even our capabilities right now in railways, though they are not being used right now because the businesses are short. I think that the rolling stock movement, railways is a massive opportunity in India. So where we are now won't be where we are 2-3 years from now. So I'm quite optimistic that once the situation does turn around, all of these business verticals become very, very attractive to us. And a lot of them have already become attractive to us. From a clean tech space, in clean tech, we are in water and in water purification, effluent recycling, industrial water and wastewater recycling. We are also in solar, where we make modules and we also provide module mounting systems. And we have a line of, as you had mentioned, chemical treatment products, which includes combustion efficiency improvement, water treatment again in terms of chemical water additives, and also a line of vapor chemicals. All of these businesses have massive potential, and our order books are slowly growing up for all of them, and all of them are also profitable. So I believe that we are quite eager to see where these sectors go, and I'm quite confident that they will do well. For defense, we currently have about 110 crore order book. I cannot reveal the names of the customers, but they're at approximately the same margins that the company makes. I can definitely say that. And we believe these are good orders, and we'll continue to execute them. So we are looking to make sure that the revenue is out. As far as Train 18 is concerned, it was a very good initiative in my view. It's obviously a personal view from ICF. They've done the development, and the Vande Bharat Express, for example. So that may come back. Right now, we don't have a lot of clarity, but I believe that Railway Board is evaluating giving large orders on that. So we may have some good news, but right now there isn't anything for me to cover because while we have some order book, not a lot of it is Train 18 right now. So the data right now we have available, the facts of the matter are that we don't know what will happen to Train 18. But if it does scale up, I think we are definitely going to play a role in that as a vendor, as a key vendor.
Okay, thanks. And I'll have just one last question. Finally, it seems you guys are on track now, and looking at the emerging opportunities that are showing some nascent signs, do you feel as a head of this organization, are you adequately tooled up on the management front, on the assets front, to really encash big time on this opportunity if it emerges? That's it. Thanks and all the very best to you.
Thank you for the question. I think I should not be the only person. I think in the organization, we have several business unit heads who are quite strong. Some of them are very young. Some of them have been for over 30 years. So we have a good mix of that, of managerial talent, capability-wise. I'm quite confident in their ability to steer the company. And I think the idea we have is that we all learn from each other, that I learn from them and they learn from the outside market as well. So I'm quite confident that we have the bandwidth to execute our vision, and we will ensure that managerial bandwidth, managerial focus, and our internal human resource, human capital assets don't become a bottleneck for our growth. But thank you. You're right. It's important to monitor that as well.
Thanks, Aditya. All the best to you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rushabh Shah from RS Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. I just want to understand, sir, this land procedure recent 20 crores, how do you plan to use that? Will it be for debt reduction or working capital or something else?
It will have to go towards debt reduction, but I request our CFOs to comment also.
Yeah, the... Against this land, there has been a loan that has been taken, so this will straight away go and reduce the term loan.
Okay. Okay. And just want to understand on the order book mix, how much is it from government and how much is it from private? And what is the trend for the company, you know, going forward? If you could give some sense in this.
Could you repeat that? How much of the order book is from?
It's from government entities, government and related, and how much is from private companies?
For railways, the majority of the order book is, when you say government entities, PSU, right? Integral coach.
Yeah. Government owned, correct.
The majority of the order. Yeah. So the majority is from them. In none of our other businesses do we have a very high government component. I think our defense orders, we have about 30 to 40%. So it's about 30, 40 crores because we have about 100 crores. There is a government PSUs again. But overall, our goal is to move away from a high concentration from direct government orders we don't take. Everything is either PSUs and or private sector. And PSUs comprise for the railway sector, they're high. But overall, in the rest of the company, they're never a majority or in most of our businesses, they're not even a very significant proportion. Another way of for me to give that to describe that is less than if you discount railways, less than 5% of our company's revenue is from government or PSUs.
Okay, sir. And the last thing I just want to understand, how is the company planning to optimally utilize its capacities going forward? Well, you are saying that we are investing a lot of things, excelling across a lot of segments. Well, how do you intend to keep a focus and optimize all the divisions efficiently going forward?
I think the idea we have is that we have to think of ourselves as an engineering company, and a lot of engineering companies have revenue streams. So we have more than most, I would agree. I think we have, from a discrete revenue streams point of view, we have anywhere between 6 and 10 at any point of time. So what I think the best way we have done that is that we have a very robust BU structure. We have professionals head each revenue stream, and we make sure that they are directly accountable for profitability, for growth, and for capital efficiency. So that will allow us to take care of the financial parameters. From a strategy point of view, we only invest in businesses which we think are going to exist in the long term, which is they should exist 5 years from now, 10 years from now. We don't chase short-term opportunities. We will only chase opportunities which allow us to build beachheads, assets, capabilities, which will last for at least 5 years, 10 years, 12 years, with some maybe improvements, some adjustments, some additions in capacity. So where that combination, I feel, will give us the operating structure and the org structure to be able to continue to manage this growth. So if you have six business units, discrete business unit, and each of them has the potential to be 1,000 crores, then we can more than double our size from where we are right now and not worry about either from a bandwidth point of view or from a management point of view or from a capital and assets point of view. So I think that is the plan right now, and we are confident that we will be able to achieve this.
Okay. The last two questions. If you could say anything on a debt reduction plan for the next 1 or 2 years, and also, is there any thinking of increasing the promoter stake by open market purchase or anything? Any idea if you have?
Sure. Okay. From a debt reduction plan, I think we look at it as capital efficiency. I will also request after my comments for the funds controllers to comment. But effectively, the way we look at debt is in two ways. One, what is the interest cost as a percentage of our revenue? That's the metric that helps us.
No,
going from
walking karat.
Sorry?
Hello? Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. So what I was saying was that we monitor it in terms of interest cost as a percentage of sales. That is something that we monitor. And the second thing that we do is we make sure that our ROAS is maintained at a high enough level. So if our ROAS, our target is about 20%, we intend to achieve that. Obviously, for the last financial year, it doesn't look good. But if you were to analyze the fourth quarter, the third quarter, we are achieving that. And we are going to break it down to a BU level to make sure every business unit we have is profitable and capital efficient. So that takes care of whatever capital you're using. On the interest cost percentage, our overall effort is to make sure that we are at 2.5% to 3% for most of our businesses. Some businesses less. But I think if we use that metric, that allows us to make sure that we don't binge on debt. Our debt equity also is at 0.7. We don't want it to increase. We want it to decrease. So over the long term, I think a safe level of debt equity is about 0.5. So as our revenue grows, our profitability grows, I think that is what we intend to achieve. I would also request our finance heads to comment on this, on our debt reduction plans, post which I will speak about the promoter level.
Yeah. KP sir, if you can speak.
actually it is something in relation with the turnover. So debt reduction in relation to turnover, whatever the ratio, that ratio as of now it is slightly higher, but we want to maintain that one. And reduction, once the turnover is increasing, automatically debt to that extent, working capital requirement also will increase. So what Mr. Raja is telling, the ratios, what we want to have the control, and that control is going to be exercised further. So if there is a turnover increase, then only our debt will get increased. To that extent, we are controlling everything.
Okay.
And I do want to add at this point, sir, that the vast majority of our debt, 80% plus perhaps, is short-term debt. So
it is working capital.
Yeah. But so, so the next the question you asked in terms of the promoter shareholding, we as promoters over the last 5 years, as you would see, even though there have been multiple rounds of dilution due to mergers, we have always maintained or even increased our shareholding. We will continue to do that. I think we had a buyback which closed about a year or less than about 7-8 months ago. I think we closed a buyback. So we are prohibited from buying for a certain period of time. But I will definitely tell you that the promoters are very interested in increasing their stake on behalf of the promoter group. But any rigorous plans that we have this thing, I will communicate the next time we speak. But definitely we are very excited about this business. Our goal is to get from where we are right now, which is 35, 36, 37%, to a higher level, and we will communicate those in due course.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amar Moria from Alpha Credit Advisors. Please go ahead. Amar Moria, may I request you to unmute your line from your side and go ahead with your question. Amar Moria, we are unable to hear you. May I request you to unmute your line from your side and go ahead with your question?
Hello? Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, now you're audible. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm saying, thanks a lot for the opportunity. First thing is this, you know, in terms of the commodity inflation, how much percentage of our overall order book is the fixed price order book?
So, on paper, our order book for railways does not have a large commodity price increase. But the recent commodity price increases we have seen are very largely in the mild steel or the lower grade steel prices. Some of the we use alloys like IRSM alloys, stainless steel alloys. So in those alloys, there has not been a as you say 100% increase. So there are no margin pressures, if to anticipate your query. There are no margin pressures in that order book. For our pre-engineered building line and other lines, we have now put in place price escalation clauses in all of our contracts as standard. So we will not accept orders which don't incorporate a price escalation clause because we have been forced to do it with the pace of raw material price increases. So we are including them. If there are customers who don't want to give us that, then we estimate the price as best as we can for when we are going to execute the order, which is typically 2-3 months down the line, and we give them that price. Either way, we make sure that our margins don't get hit because of raw material price. And quite frankly, sir, if we do get stuck at the wrong end of the stick, our goal is to go ahead and speak with our customers and renegotiate our contracts so that we can make sure that we make our target level of contribution. We will not execute orders at low margins if the low margin is a consequence of raw material price increase.
Okay. And secondly, sir, if you can update more about the US plant which we had talked about in the press release, when it will be commissioned, what is the kind of visibility we have in terms of the business over there?
Thank you. So the US plant is SN Building Systems. That's the brand it works under in the US. It is in Tennessee, and it has will be commencing operations from next month. It already has a very strong order book of about $13 million. The operating profits for that are very healthy, much higher than what we get in India. And we are quite confident that the reason for the investment is for us to ground that. And it will be profitable in this financial year itself. In fact, next couple of quarters, we will be hitting a targeted profitability. Not just profitable, but hitting a target profitability with that plant. So to summarize, the plant is starting commercial operations next month. The order book is very strong. The margins are very strong. And we expect to target profitability levels by in the month of November, December. We will hit our target PBT.
Okay. And in terms of the, like you said, currently the order book is around $13 million. So what is the kind of visibility we have over there in terms of the next 2 years? What kind of scale we can bring over there?
So as of right now, the capacity we have set up is for a single beam line, which gives about 30,000 metric tons. So at capacity, we will execute about $25 million in revenue from that plant.
Okay. And the profitability-wise, is it going to be similar to the average company level profit, or is it going to be higher?
It would be higher. It will be higher than our current EBITDA. It would be higher than our current PBT.
Okay.
As a percentage margin, I meant.
Percentage margin. Got that, sir. Thank you. Thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Dilip Sao, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. Can you hear me?
Dilip Sao, sorry to interrupt you. We are unable to hear you. May I request you to speak over the handset?
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the chance. Couple of questions regarding the EBITDA. You know, we have kind of reached a double-digit EBITDA in this quarter. Can you tell me the drivers for this EBITDA? Is it sustainable in the current financial year?
I would. Our EBITDA right now is at 13%. I think double-digit EBITDA can definitely be achieved and sustained. I think our goal is to achieve that. But you do have to take into account that this does include a significant one-time event of obviously the land sale. But over the course of this financial year, we will definitely have sustainable double-digit EBITDA, which is about 10% EBITDA. That is our goal.
Hello, sir. Sorry, we are unable to hear you.
Yeah.
Hello, Mr.
Sao. Can you hear me?
Sir, we can hear you, but then your voice is breaking.
Yeah, so I'll call back. I'll come back on that. You. Sorry, is there noise?
Sir, now when you're talking, it's audible. You can go ahead with the question.
Yeah, yeah. So I was just clarifying that this EBITDA has been possible without railways, which happens to be our, highest contributing EBITDA profitable segment. So is it expected that this EBITDA will go up as railway business comes back?
Regarding the railways business coming back, the timing and the quantity of it coming back is not something that I can project for the next few quarters, sir. But the business is hard at work building. For example, we're investing a lot for other customers. So GE, for example, Loco, we have invested a fair amount of capital. That revenue stream is starting. We also are working with Bombardier and others as well. So I can definitely assure you that once ICF, MCF open up, once these other investments come, then railways obviously will contribute in a very big way and the margins will jump up. But which is what I mean, that over the next 2-3 years, definitely we will have that happen. Next 1-2 quarters until ICF opens up, articulates a plan of what they intend to achieve, it would be difficult for me to comment on the impact of railways margins on our current margins. But I definitely know that double-digit EBITDA is our target this financial year.
Sure. One more question regarding the cash flow from Pigment Core. Now, in the consolidated cash flow, you have shown 27.8 crores as write-off and 25.3 crores as provisions in the year 2019-20. Can you just, you know, this looks slightly on the higher side. Just wanted to know what exactly was these two items.
I'll just take you through that. It is more of a doubtful trade and receivables which were there in the last years which have been provided, and this was being done based on the expected credit loss method, which was introduced last year. Under the expected credit loss method, we are supposed to have the policy of planning and arriving at a number based on our past data. Based on that past data, the last year provisions was higher and which is moderated as we've collected more in the current year. We have a consistent policy of making a certain percentage of provision for each of our business units while we earn the revenue itself. This is the current year is in line with that, and last year being an exceptional due to the expected credit loss method.
Sure. The write-offs will be in the same tune as this year, considering the size of the business, right? In at around 2,000 crores,
yes.
14 or 15 crores is going to.
Yeah, 0.5% is what we can take on an average.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranay Jhaveri from J&J Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. I have couple of questions. First is basically, the working capital days have increased from about 69 days to over 117 days, year-on-year. If you can just, like, highlight what is your target level going forward?
Yeah. As I had mentioned, our target is 75 days. We are right now at 96 days.
96.
Srikanth, do you want to take this question?
Yes, I can. I'll take this question. Basically, in terms of account receivable days, this is increased in terms of consolidated numbers, if you have to see. Correspondingly, if you take accounts payable also, it has substantially increased. The increase in accounts receivable and accounts payable is more or less gets increased, and the working capital number of days comes to around 96 working days. I can maybe offline, I can share you the numbers, how we arrive at this.
Yeah. Okay. I was just picking up the data of the inventory, the receivable two items and payables.
Yeah.
I can take it offline.
Yeah. You have to add the other current assets and other current liabilities as well.
Okay. I'll take that offline. My next question is, the debt is around about 545-550 crores, all inclusive, right? Short-term, long-term, as well as current maturities.
5. Yeah. Yeah. 584 in case you add the current maturities as well.
584?
Yes.
Okay. Sir, if I see your finance cost, which is hovering at about 80 crores, you can just explain me basically what would be our interest cost and what would be the bank charges or any other charges which will be clubbed together?
Yeah. Actually, we'll explain to you in little more detail because I think this is a confusion that you generally have with the investors and everything. The finance cost also includes the interest charges that we pay on our non-fund-based limits, which is letter of credit, LC-based. While the LC limits and the LC borrowing does not appear anywhere in the financial statements, but LC for procuring the raw material, we give those LCs. We have mostly 15 days of credit-free period or 30 days of credit-free period, and after that it gets charged. That particular component of the borrowing does not straightaway appear here in terms of borrowings, while the interest does appear. It is not the bank charges which are higher, it is the interest on those LCs are included in this finance cost. That's the reason the numbers in terms of percentage of borrowing when you do interest or finance cost divided by the total borrowing, the percentage appears to be little higher. While I can assure, the overall
rate in terms of working capital is around between 9 to 10% is what we have overall. And in terms of LCs, we have done lot of breakthrough and in terms of reducing our cost. And that cost approximates is between 5.5 to 6.5% is what the interest cost that we pay on this LCs. So that's in terms of analysis. And what we have also done in the current year is we've started taking short-term borrowings from the vendable discounting platforms that are available and which comes at a substantially lower rate of interest, approximately 100 to 150 basis points lower than the working capital interest. And those facilities are also unsecured facilities. So we are increasing the components of this vendable discounting and reducing the working capital stress. So overall, if you see, the working capital number has come down from last Q4 to the current year Q4 by approximately 18.28 has reduced to 18.1. So we are constantly making the efforts to reduce the finance cost by reducing the interest rate and also reducing the working capital cycle.
So what would be the number of this vendor credit or the LC discounting?
90 days.
No, I need to
90 days.
No, no, in terms of crores. So your total debt is 580 crores.
Yeah. One second.
If you can just
tell you those numbers. I'll just tell you those numbers 1 second. Vendable discounting is close to around 136 crores as we speak. And the LCs will be close to around 90 crores. 30 crores a month is what the LCs you can take on an average, and it will be 90 days, so you will have 90 crores for which does not appear in the borrowing.
So if I get you right, so we have a total debt of over 580 crores, which is restricted in the balance sheet in short term, long term and current maturities. And this, there is about 222 crores of debt, which is the LC and the vendor discounting, which does not appear in the balance sheet, but the interest is charged, right?
136 crores of VBD does appear in borrowings. Only 90 crores does not appear.
Okay. And just last question from my side. What would be the levers for our EBITDA expansion from this 7.2 to 10% going forward?
I think there are a couple of things that we are doing. One, we are growing our new businesses and new capex has been coming in the higher growth vertical margins, which is BIW, which is automobile, and also Ascent buildings. So Ascent will also have a little higher margins than the present margin, and as well as BIW component. And once the railway business others are back, railway will have much better margins than our existing businesses. And as another thing which will have the increase in EBITDA margins, because with the same capacities, we'll be able to grow up much higher than we are present then. Due to the pandemic, with certain portions, we are not able to do the maximum capacity utilization. So those will also be the areas where we can increase. Arisa, if you want to add anything more to it.
I think that's a good explanation. I think our growth in high-margin businesses and moderation in our working capital usage together will boost our margins. I mean, working capital usage moderation might not boost EBITDA, but it will boost PBT. So, that's our goal.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Venkat Subramanian from Organic Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi Aditya, but congratulations on handling pretty tough situation pretty meaningfully. I had a couple of questions on our engineering services business, which is pretty really highly value added. Will it come into play quite meaningfully in our American business? Will we probably start doing more design out of here, which is probably what's going to be a big margin kicker?
So in the current financial year, to give you a perspective, the total size, the engineering services business, which is our structural engineering plus our automotive engineering, is about a 40 crore 10 crore breakup, which is about for a combination of about 50 crores. So
So that 50 crores gives us something approaching 30% in terms of PBT. So obviously the more we scale that up, the better it is. Long-term steady-state sustainable PBT, we expect to be about 25% for that vertical. So we are hard at work trying to grow it. But I think for it to start contributing to more than, as I said, 15% of our PBT as it is right now, I think would require us to dramatically improve our customer presence in the U.S., which we're attempting to do. So this is a medium-term project. It's not going to happen in the next couple of years, but over the next 2 years, I think growing that 50 crores to a larger size will automatically increase its, because of its high PBT percentage, will increase its profit share percentage from 15% to 20-25%. That is what we intend to achieve. So if 50 goes to 100, that gets achieved over the next year and a half.
50 will need to go to a little higher number, right, Ajit, for this to become, let's say, about 25%?
As of right now, I mean, if you look at the 30% PBT, 50, about 15 crores is about. I think if we were to double that, then I think for it to be 25%, doubling basically means that 15 goes to about 30, right? So at 30, okay. If it becomes 25%, then it's...
Okay, so you see visibility for that. You think that's workable, right?
So the business is headed by a very, very compelling team of people who understand how to grow this vertical business. They all come from a very strong engineering background. So I think we have mapped out our addressable markets quite well. We think body in white, where we have very good orders. And some of the largest companies in structural engineering are our customers. But mostly, yes, the U.S. would be a big market. Europe would be a big market. But we have the runway to achieve that. We definitely have the addressable market to scale to that. But it will take us some amount of time.
Lovely. Okay. And the second interesting, very high margin business for you will probably be your hydraulic cylinders business. Is that shaping well, and what kind of visibility do you have there?
Again, hydraulics, well, on paper it looks great and it is great. The one thing we failed in hydraulics is in scaling it. So Shiva, who heads our industrial components division, priority is to ensure that he scales up hydraulics. I think he has a larger order book than he delivers right now. I think with the improvements we're making in industrial components and the capacity expansions we've already made, this business will do very well. I think hydraulics is, as you said, another business which is exports, high entry barriers, high value added, and can scale. So we should focus on growing that vertical.
Where are we just now, Aditya, and where do you think we can get there? And what do we need to do to, you know, kind of strengthen Shiva's hands there?
We are again at a similar level at 4.5 crores right now, which is gets us to about 50 crores, a little over that in revenue per year. Getting that to, so the market is huge, right? Our competitors are with over 1,000 crores and several other companies which are around 200 crores. So our intermediate target is to get to 100 crores. And for Shiva to achieve that, it would mean some amount of moderate capacity expansion, which we are undertaking. It shouldn't be too difficult for us to get it. I don't think it would not involve a massive amount of capital. I think we have our customer base as well. It's all U.S. for hydraulics. So I think the best thing we can do to make sure Shiva achieves that is to ensure he has the capital he needs and that we are able to give him the other factors of production that he has in terms of raw material and others. And he's committed to doing that. So I'm quite confident he will achieve those numbers. To give you two in perspective, I mean, just 2.5 years ago, that number, the 50 crores was 25 crores. He has managed to double in 2 years. Small numbers, obviously, but I don't believe the market will prevent him from growing. I don't believe his order book will prevent him from growing consequently. I think if he just continue on the path we are on, he will achieve that very soon.
Right. Secondly, we had a broad... goal of getting to about $1 billion, maybe in something like about 4-5 years time. That's about almost about 4-fold growth. What are the building blocks that we will require? What will be the drivers? And, you know, halfway through when we get there, you know, which businesses you think will be where and, you know, how do we need to retool ourselves? That'll be it. Thanks.
So getting to a billion is one of the factors of our growth plan, definitely. So getting to a billion right now means about 7,000 growth plan. Right now we're at about less than half of that. We're at 40%, a little more than 40% of that. We assume that we are at a run rate which is around 200, 220, and if we reach 250, we reach 3,000 crores per year, 200, 220 crores per month. So getting to a billion means that we encourage businesses with very high scale potential. I think buildings, plants can do that. I think they can both scale in revenue and profitability. I think, as you mentioned, we spoke about hydraulics, but industrial components as a whole has a lot of potential. Even our tube CDW vertical, we currently have 10% of the market share of the next rise. That is, you know, our market share isn't 10%, but we have 10% of the revenue of the highest market share player. So there are multiple avenues where many of our businesses we are at low market market share, and just by expanding our capacities, expanding our capabilities, making sure that we are being capital efficient, will ensure that those businesses can continue to grow, that they have sustainable revenue streams in them. So that is the plan we have. Our plan is not 7,000 crores or 7,500 crores as a billion. That's part of the plan. It's a process by which we achieve that. Our plan is to boost EBT. So let's say we are at something like 60, 70 crores per annum right now. If we can get that to 100, which seems to be definitely on the cards very, very soon, then getting that 100 to 200, 200 to 300. And ultimately, when we reach a billion, we would obviously want a number which is assuming 5 to 10% profitability, would be 500 crore PAT. So a 500 crore PAT plan is actually for us the way to think about it. That's how we're working on this. But it will take us, obviously, a fair amount of time to achieve those numbers.
Very helpful, Aditya. Thanks a lot. All the best. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The next question is from the line of Arvind Joshi from Batilo Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just a quick clarification. Is SAFE totally out now? Have they sold out entirely?
I'm not fully aware, sir. I'll have to check and get back to you. I know that...
Okay, fine. No, I was just following the releases to the exchanges. I was just wondering what is the status. Anyway, fine. And I also would appreciate if you could give us a little bit clarity. This GE business is largely shell parts. What are we doing for GE? General electric?
Truck frames, sir. It is, in a sense, shell part, but you can say the load-bearing parts, effectively.
Okay. And this BIW, it's a fairly large, complicated product for us to start. Are we having the right kind of domain expertise? And these would be what, European and American customers in the American domain that you're planning to work?
It is high margin, and all of it is export. The plant is not up, but we've done a lot of tool development. We've done a lot of R&D. We have tied up with a lot of companies, some of the largest companies in the world. They've explicitly asked me.
No, I can understand. No, why I was wondering was, this is not a business which can be run at very small scales. This will eventually, once they become your serious customers, you will have to scale it up maybe 10, 20x from here for them to take you seriously and keep you, and for you to stay on the horizon. So do you feel that kind of a scalability and outlook exists for the kind of stuff that you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think starting off small is the most important part. So once you start off small, our scaling will depend on how much capital we can deploy and how well we can manage our operations. All of those are things that we can definitely follow in. And 10-20x is a journey, I guess, sir. I mean, obviously, we'll JBM and others, they're much larger than that. But
correct.
Starting off now, I think we're just looking at 100 crores in revenue for the first year. So we will make the investments we need. Right now we have a strong order book, a multi-year order book. So revenue is not under debate. We have to make sure these are safety critical parts. We have to make sure that quality is increased. But one thing I do pride myself on, we've never had quality issues at Pennar. I think our focus has always been make great products. So we've never had situations where we supply products and they fail totally or something. So we take care of that first. So that combined with our expertise, I'm quite sure we can achieve this.
So you're comfortable with the kind of learning curve that you've undergone and you don't feel there'll be any unpleasant surprises, at least on the delivery front, on quality?
I believe that we are well geared up to understand the challenges this industry represents. We understand how safety critical it can be. We're also, for example, in the aerospace business, very small business, but we know how critical it is that we have micron level precision. So we are
aerospace would not be ferrous, right? It should be some alloys, aluminum alloys and all. It will be your conventional steel business.
You are absolutely right. It is aluminum machining mostly.
So we have some expertise in that also, or it's a new vertical that we are looking at?
We've been present in it for a long time, sir, almost 2.5 to 3 years. But it's
okay.
A small business. We do a crore a year in it. It's something we do. It's part of our railways business. It's not something.
Okay.
I guess I shouldn't have brought it up, but what I was trying to illustrate is that we understand that there are industries out there, specifically in VIW, which demand output, which demand quality. And any failure on our part has big impacts on our customers' ability to perform. And we are well geared up. We have understood with our customers exactly what needs to be done. We will invest the capital, the people skills, and most importantly, the time that we need to succeed in this. So, yes.
Fine. Thanks. Thanks, and thanks for letting me in once again. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Digant from SVIB Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you. So just a couple of questions. So the debt has been increasing with the vision of us improving our working capital cycle. So I just wanted to understand why was the buyback done. That's the first one. So the second question was that we had guided for our quarter four to be better than the quarter three. So kudos to that. And so you had also guided that the Q1 would be better than Q4 of this quarter. So are we on track for that? And so I just want to know,
Let me, go ahead. You have a further question? Send me right now.
Nothing more.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, so your question was Q1 versus Q4, as a Q1 of this financial year versus Q4 of last year. What was the other question, sorry? Can you hear me? Hello.
He was asking, why was the buyback done?
Okay, why was the buyback done? Okay, all right. Let me take it up the buyback part first. Our debt equity is stable and will continue to be stable. There's a certain target that we have in mind. Sorry, it went on hold. So to reiterate that, once we hit a target or maintain a certain debt equity, what I was trying to say is once a certain debt equity is maintained and is sustained, corporate actions such as buybacks is something. Hi, am I audible? I just wanted to check once. Moderator,
can you hear audible?
You're audible, but the Mr. Pranay, who has asked this question, is dropped out.
Yes, I joined the call.
Okay, so let me just reiterate what I said. So with regards to the buyback, the rationale for a buyback is that we ensure that the funds of the company are used in order to reduce equity when the PE multiple is low, or we believe the PE multiple to be low considering historical values. That is a different discussion compared to our debt equity for the company we maintain. The nature of our business is that we will always have some debt. It could be non-cash debt, it could be cash debt. It is by nature. The idea for us, how we intend to run the company, is to maintain a certain debt equity, make sure it doesn't go out of control, and then make sure that the actions that we want to take, whether they're buybacks or dividends or others, it is a board-driven decision, and we believe we have spent our money wisely. We have retired some equity, and we retired equity at a low PE multiple. So,
right. Seen
in that perspective, that is our explanation for why we did a buyback, even though we have substantial debt. That is point number one. The second point you raised, which is Q1 versus Q4. Q4, as you know, has several extraordinary items, so I can't say that Q1 will be better than Q4, but once the extraordinary items are removed, it will be more or less in line with that. So we're not going to slip back to very low profitability levels, but we are going to be able to sustain a certain level of profitability. So that is what I've guided to. I am not guiding that Q1 is going to be higher than Q4. Considering the sale of land asset and our BIW revenue coming. But what I can definitely assure you is that quarter on quarter from now on, we will only be improving. There's certain cyclicality in some businesses, but this is the level of performance we're seeing with one of our hands still tied behind our back. Really, not all of our businesses have reached back to their peak potential. I have no doubt that over the next few quarters that will happen. More and more of our businesses will start hitting peak. And when that happens, that will naturally increase our EBT. And that's our target. We are a profit-focused, liquidity, working capital-focused company. So consistent improvements in profitability, as I've promised and delivered over the last three quarters, and consistent improvements in working capital efficiency, as defined as number of days of working capital, our cash outflow to cash inflow cycle, that I can definitely commit to. We will keep improving and keep getting better over the next few quarters. When they're extraordinary items, obviously we can't say that it would be, they're not replicable sometimes. But you can absolutely count on us for consistent improvements.
So, sir, the extraordinary items were for the profit, for our profits, but the revenue, would that increase? And, sir, the other question was that with the railway revenue, how much component of railway revenue was in this quarter?
So, do you mean Q1 or Q4?
Q4, the railway revenue.
Q4, our revenue is, Shrikant, correct me if I'm wrong, but we had gross sales of about 45 crores, which corresponds to net sales of about 38 crores.
Right.
Gateway numbers are not that present. We'll get back on that numbers if I may. For the quarter number, I don't have ready with me. But I have yearly numbers on thing.
Okay. So those are the ballpark numbers, roughly.
Okay, sir. And sir, the question I asked previously was the revenue. Would the revenue be better than Q4? The extraordinary items were in profits, right? So the revenue, would that be better than Q4, or how would that go?
I will come back to you with the revenue position. A lot of it depends on the raw material prices then versus now. For some grades, the revenue composition, how much of it is high-grade steel, low-grade steel, but I will come back to you on this, but you're not going to see a massive drop in revenue. That I can definitely promise.
Okay. Thank you so much. Yeah. And really waiting for the annual report.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Rushabh Shah from RS Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity once again. Just want to confirm, are there any still more unused land bank or any other assets that we plan to dispose of in the next 1 or 2 years to generate quick cash?
So we have, the company has substantial land assets. This was freehold land, as in we didn't have a factory on top of it, or we didn't really have any. There are such other such land assets we have in the company, but no decision has been taken as yet on them. As in when the board takes those decisions, we'll communicate. But the assets do are there. We have on our books substantial land assets. We sold 5 acres, for example, at Patancheru, and we have 50 acres. So we also have land in our Chennai plant, and we have plants near Ismapur, near Bombay, and others as well. But there are currently no rigid plans to liquidate that. This was a very easy thing to sell because it was not generating revenue and it was not being used for anything else. So we sold them. But once we finalize our plans for that, we will communicate. But right now, we don't have any plans.
And just last question. I was just seeing the press release. We had, during the IPO, we had generated funds in 15-16. And there is some 4 crores which is still unused towards some infrastructure financing for design and engineering. Now, what is the reason it's 5 years down there and still it's not been used? What is the reason and when do you plan to use it?
I think should we take it up?
Yeah, go ahead.
That has to be used for the purposes which is mentioned in the IPO document. And we intend to use it gradually and wisely. So only monies which can be used for the purpose and the project that has been specified in the IPO can be used out of those proceeds. So remaining all the amounts have been used except this amount. And this would be used over a period of 2 years will be completely used.
Okay, sir. Thanks.
Thank you very much. We'll take the last question from the line of Keshav Garg, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, I wanted to understand that our operating profit, even if we take out 2021, then in FY11 it was 157 crores, whereas in FY22 was 169 crores, so it's almost flat. And we are not, and this is nominal. So if we add inflation, then actually the profit would be actually one third of what it used to be, let's say 10 years back. So basically going forward, how do you intend to reverse? Basically our margins have kept on coming down. So when do you foresee, and have we turned the corner or we still have to go somewhere?
I think that's a great question. If you were to compare PNR from a 10-year basis, I think 10-15-year basis, 15 years it looks good, 10 years it looks very bad. The reason for that is in FY 2011, we had a massive influx of wagon revenue. That business almost disappeared overnight. And that was the reason why we then went into a lull and our profitability came down. And over the last 7 years, they gradually ramped up. If you look, take until FY 2019, our profitability has increased by about 500% from the lulls in about 2013-2014. Now, what I would like to say is that we do consider it our responsibility as the management of this firm to ensure shareholder returns. Shareholder returns means market cap growth. Market cap growth means obviously P multiple, which is in the hands of a supply-demand question, but more importantly, EPS growth. We have not delivered EPS growth over the last 10 years. We have over the last 5 to 6 years. What we intend to do going forward is stabilize the revenue streams and only invest in revenue streams which are stable, which are not 1 year, 2 year, 3 year opportunities, but literally 5 year, 10 year, 15 year opportunities. So the revenue base that the company stands on right now is extremely sustainable. I don't imagine any of these businesses disappearing. We used a variety of metrics to ensure that our profitability will continue to grow from this point on. So our EPS will continue to grow, which can only happen if your EBITDA grows, which can only happen if your margins grow or your revenue grows. So a consistent improvement in our revenue from high quality, high margin businesses will ensure that both EBITDA and EPS grow. Definitely more than, as you said, if you link it to inflation, 5%, more than 5% EPS growth has to be there, much, much more than that. And our focus will be to ensure that if we do our job well, I'm certain that over the next similar period of time, let's say 10 years from now, we should definitely not put ourselves in a situation where we are saying that we have not adequate growth in our EBITDA. And, but it is a very good point that you brought up, and it's important for us to take note of the fact that we look flat, and even if you don't adjust inflation also, we look flat over the last 10 years, which is not good.
Sir, so that is very reassuring. And sir, also, sir, you can consider that the market is giving us a tremendous opportunity by offering the shares at a throwaway price at the same level where the shares were at 2014 years back, whereas all the reinvested profits are not being accounted for in the share price. So if you can do a really significant buyback at this price, then it can permanently extinguish our a large portion of a share capital, which is a permanent liability. And so all the future growth will get divided on a smaller base of shares. So basically, EPS will grow faster than profits. So, and that will be a permanent thing. So that you can consider.
We definitely can. I have a personal view on this. I it's not appropriate for me to express it in this view, but the board is considering all corporate actions, and when a decision is taken, I do believe buybacks are a great way to grow shareholder wealth, and I believe buybacks are a great way to grow EPS, especially when your company is on the growth path, especially when you're capital efficient.
Sure, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much for your time to all of our stakeholders who joined us. Thank you for a great set of questions. We will take our learnings back from this. We have made a note of every question, all the commitments we made to you. My focus will be to make sure that whatever we commit to you, we achieve. Whatever commitments we make have to be honored. and that is which is why we will be very careful when we commit things to you. But I can assure you on that basis that we have we will continue to work on growing our profitability. We will continue to growing on working on growing the capital efficiency. Thank you again, and thank you for all of your support.
Thank you very much. On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.